And we're back. Second hour of We the People. You can find everything about our program at wethepeopleradio.us. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. You can get everything you need in small tractors and turf equipment at Pape Machinery. They've got zero-turn mowers, riding mowers, push mowers, you name it, they've got it. And they have a whole lineup of compact tractors by John Deere in stock and ready to go. Go by and see them. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just south of Phil's Propeller. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or on the web at Pape Machinery. Oh, there is more.
You're like a... Who's that guy? Wait, there's more.
Wait, there is more.
I don't know. He had a heart attack, though, didn't he? He was very stressed. Yeah, you shouldn't be that guy.
Or you can get him online at papemachinery.com. Thank you for that.
I have so much help.
Oh, you are really, really.
I love helping with the commercials. Really, I don't want to really do them. I just want to be the helper.
Yeah. Okay, so there we are, and we are.
Okay, so this is part two.
Part two.
Part two of part two, I guess. This is a second half. We're talking about the coronavirus. Well, everybody else is too, but they're kind of just talking about, you know, the virus itself. We've done a little bit of that, but our guests today are Dr. Shizong Chen and also Eureka Young. And Dr. Chen is a microbiologist, and Eureka Young, well, they both are basically experts in U.S.-China issues. They both come from China. And know a lot about the culture there and the corruption of the Chinese Communist Party. You'll hear us talk a lot about the CCP. Actually, you're hearing that a little bit more in the news and whatnot, and that is the Chinese Communist Party. That's who runs China. On our site at wethepeopleradio.us, there is a tab at the top marked China. We've got shows stretching back. Let's see, I can tell you, it was 2018, near the end of 2018 when we started this, not knowing we were going to have a, you know, pandemic flu situation. But in November of 2018, we started exploring what was going on over there and the manipulations and all those things that happen that I think Americans should be aware of, because as we get information from China, if you have knowledge of how China operates, you start to hear all those things differently. So, guys, go back to the CCP, or I guess that's kind of where we were headed, and their manipulations of these things, and what you got to realize, most people don't know this, I guess.
Right. Even from news reports like a hotel collapsed, there's a lot to just the word collapse, because these government officials, they have their relatives, right, to as like real estate developers, so they throw in a low bid, and they got the contract, and then there's a lot behind the word hotel. Why a hotel collapsed nowadays? Because these officials, they had this relationship with the hotel. They charge exorbitant fees for local residents and those transient workers who could not even afford to be quarantined in the hotel. So there is all this dirty laundry between just these two simple words. And people like us, we live in the West. If we did not have previous experience in China, if we didn't have spent decades living there, we would think, oh, it's just a hotel collapses, right? We wouldn't see so many hidden things. These transient workers, when they returned to the coastal cities to find a job, they would be quarantined. I'm not sure whether this hotel was for quarantining.
That's what I heard. Was it a quarantine center?
Yeah, but they would be charged for every day that they stay in the hotel. Oh. And these hotels, they have connections with the government officials.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, and those who are in Wuhan, they're even in those transient workers who are trapped in Wuhan, they are in a more dire situation, because Wuhan is the epicenter, and they would not be able to go to a grocery store to buy food. And China has this very strict organization. There's this city level, there's the district, then there's the sub-district, which is also known as neighborhood administration level. Then there's the residential committee. Then there is these living quarters, gated communities, or grouped households. There are these strict hierarchy of management. One has something that we never heard of in the West. We call it a household registry. We have to have that household-like registry. Without that, we will not be able to find a job. We go to a different city. And these transient workers are they're migrating from places. So there is some loosening up as command economy was gradually turning into semi-market economy. But what these people, they do not belong. They're from other cities, about 5 million of them trapped in Wuhan. And many more people who are returning to coastal city, they do not belong to this household registry management system. So in Wuhan, in the epicenter, they're not able to go into a grocery store because now they only do wholesale business. They package food at the grocery stores and send it out to residential districts, to residential committees. So only organized residents who have their residency in Wuhan will be able to buy food. That's how terrible they are. They couldn't afford to stay in a hotel. They could not. They basically just live on the streets. And now those who have not turned in their cell phone in exchange for food in coastal cities, they text the messages back to their fellow countrymen, in the countryside, telling them not to come in. You would be facing quarantine, which you could not be able to afford, and there would be no job because the factories are not running in full capacity, and we have noticed the disruption to the supply chain here. There is also disruption in supply chains within China.
So
many
no
factories
food.
Missing. Yeah, there's upstream, downstream factories. They're missing pieces and they're missing parts and components. So people are not able to restore to work regardless how the central government wanted them to go back to work immediately. So situations are really getting quite bad.
So I guess this, why do bad people do anything? But why are they requiring that they go into a city that's got quarantine where they will have no place to stay, they won't be able to leave, and they'll be trapped there?
Yes, different. These party officials, they report to their superiors. The top leadership, if they figured China's economy is at stake, and they set up this macro economic policy that we need to restore production, resume work. So they set this tone. Then all the propaganda machines started spinning, and they're saying this city has zero newly reported cases. Then there are cured patients, so to attract people to go back. And then local officials at the top level, they report to the central government. They wanted people to come in and work. But then there is this malfunctioning of CCP leadership. It is kind of following the model of failed country already in front of this virus, while WHO was singing their praises, other countries need to follow this model. We see a huge disconnect there, and this is really a perceptive observation of yours to raise this question. Different levels of governments, they are not working in concert. They are trying to do their own things at each level, driven by their own motives and by their own career goals. So that, and none of the officials, they really care about the life or death of these transient workers, these vulnerable groups in China.
Well, for anybody who's ever read Animal Farm, I guess be a nice example of some of this, and I think most of us had to read it in the eighth grade, but honestly, that's a complete disregard for their citizens. They are literally just a commodity to be used and thrown away. That's got to feel awesome. We're going to come right back and continue on this topic because, yeah, I think it is worse than that. You are listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Too much money they spend upon the moon. Well, I'm sure they make it right. I hope they never sleep at night. They better make some changes and do it soon. Who would have thought a sassy song from the 70s would work well on a show about a virus?
Yeah, CCP has no regard for the population, and I think that's where we were going when we got interrupted. So let's pick that back up with...
I think it was Eureka. Were you starting to pipe in there?
Yeah. I was saying worse. It's worse than Animal Farm. Do you know how SARS 2003 disappeared? I mean, it eventually did appear, but in China disappeared first. It's the same model that it disappeared in China, the coronavirus. Okay, so lately there's some official policy or document leaked out. So there's a leadership change in Wuhan, in Hubei, right? So once the new leadership came in and they mobilized people and do a checkup of the, basically the current status, okay? They instilled some kind of a show, some kind of fake policy, and then it gave the city officials a deadline, and then, okay, so we have cleaned up our act at this point. Now we have cleaned the city from now on. Whichever district, just like, Eureka City, it broke down to district, sub-district, so it get down to, neighborhood, okay? Whichever neighborhood or district or sub-district, if you find a new case of infection, you will be held accountable and you will be fired. So that's how they make the new cases disappear. And that was how SARS disappeared in China ahead of the world back then in 2003.
So it just wasn't reported.
If you ever report it, you'll be fired.
So just like when you're a kid, you can break things, and as long as you hide it, under the Davenport or whatever, and your folks don't find it, it's not really broken.
Right.
God. Wow. And so some things never change.
So when they have this kind of policy, right, and they wanted people to go back to work, of course, because having people going back to work tied to his own job, I mean the official's own job, they'll get people to go to the city. Whether there'll be the city to die or whether they really can work, it's none of his consideration, right? So the humanitarian disaster is none of his consideration. And so that's why I say the world's people, now we need to demand WHO to return the 20 million that Chinese government just give to WHO. Force the WHO to return those money and earmark those money to Wuhan to solve the food problem in Wuhan first. And WHO have no business to receive those, urgent funds that will save lives. You are not saving lives. You're just, extracting, resources from China. And so I want to go back to the humanitarian disaster and genocide. And this is real. I mean, some people may think you're just blowing things up. You're blowing things up out of proportion. No. The CCP has a history of man-made atrocities through locking down the Chinese people. People probably have not heard of locking down Changchun. That's in 1949. The whole Cultural Revolution period, when millions of high school graduates were sent to countries, that's a form of locking down, not allowing them to go back to the city. But I want to specifically give details of history's greatest man-made famine in China. The whole history. But it happened in China in the winter of 1959 to 1960. Okay. That summer, China had a harvest, food is not a problem. But the government confiscated all their food, all their rice, and so in the winter, in that winter, 48 to 60 million starved to death. That means starved to death.
And they had the food.
Right. The generally accepted number is 30 million, which was calculated from various sources of CCP's records. I mean, of course, we are now that the record is problematic. Mr. Chen Yizi, okay, he is a top advisor to China's former premier Zhao Ziyang. He told me in person. I remember it was 1992. The year was 1992 when he told me in person that when he was in charge of China's agriculture reform in the late 1970s and early 1980s, he organized a clandestine investigation of this man-made famine and concluded that the most conservative estimate of the death toll was 48 million. And a reasonable estimate was 60 million. But,
holy cow.
Okay, what I want to tell people here is that a large number of people would have survived if they were not locked down in their villages, but allowed to go out into the wilderness to forage. But the picture or the image of people going out to wilderness to forage for food would be a damage to the glorious picture, glorious achievement of the CCP. So they were locked inside the villages, die inside the villages. And so this is a genocide of villagers. And this, it's the world people do not get to learn it. Okay? Now, this could happen in Wuhan. Next could be happening in Hangzhou. And could be happening in one city after another. So, Eureka was talking about failed state. And for someone, I took note of the failed state concept, back in 2007-2008, even for me who are familiar with this concept, it's an eye opener for me this time with the pandemic, with this coronavirus, and I start to realize a new concept. I mean, there's no word to describe it, but I attempt to use it, the word counter government. It's, you know, there's a failed government. Due to incompetence or whatever reason or greed or whatever, but the CCP from the get-go, it's a counter government. It's not meant to govern. It's meant to be destructive. So I don't know a proper word. I maybe the closest is a counter government. So when we talk about anti crimes against humanity, right? So we're talking about bad people killing good people, or bad people just killing a large group of people, right? And that those are people, right? But when we're talking about CCP, I don't know whether it's crime against humanity. It's born to be destructive force against humanity to begin with. So
it isn't like something that was supposed to be good and has been manipulated for evil.
Right.
It was actually set up to be evil.
Yeah. So let me. The analogy is virus. Okay. To a biologist, virus is alive. But virus cannot live on its own. With no livestock for it to feed on, virus sit there doing nothing. Right. But once a virus gets into a cell, the sole purpose of the virus that it can be called alive is then it now kicks in the mechanism to take over the cell that it has infected and uses all its resources to duplicate a cell and to destroy the cell. And once a cell is lies or killed, the virus will sit there doing nothing until there's a next cell to feed on. So virus, we biologists call it, we acknowledge that it's alive, yet it's everything against life. And think about that concept. And that I think that is what we have to think about the CCP.
Yes. And the bad part is you can't even file like freedom of information requests or any of those things because they absolutely don't tell the truth. We've got to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guests, Dr. Shizong Chin and Eureka Young. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, so for people who haven't maybe listened to the show before or are just tuning in on the AUN network, we're on channel 23, actually, in Reading. So if you're just tuning in to the shows that are airing on the television side of things, you've missed all the setup to this topic of China. I would encourage you to go to the web at wethepeopleradio.us and click on the China tab and look at it. I mean, if you're thinking, well, these guys are just biased, you know, they just don't like, you know, the Chinese government and they're, you know, biased. Go on there and listen to some of the other guests and especially tune into the ones about the forced organ harvesting, because I would submit that any government that would forcibly harvest, and we're not talking part of your liver, I mean, it's like part of your, it's your whole heart, your lungs, like organs you need. And they either incinerate you or send you home in a body bag missing pieces. Any government that would do that for no reason other than you disagreed with them politically or you practiced religion and they don't want you to, or basically you disagreed with them. Any government that would do that in 100 to 200,000 people a year, we've heard a variety of numbers. I think based on everything we keep learning, it's probably higher than that, but if they would do that, I think sky's the limit. They would do almost anything.
Oh, they'll do that, yeah. Absolutely.
So I was going to ask you guys, So people are watching. Most of us don't speak Chinese, don't read Chinese, so you're a little bit limited on what you can dig into on the web and what you get on, like, radio or TV or whatever. I know the Epoch Times does a terrific job of reporting on all these things. Any other things people should be looking for or, I guess, maybe aware of as this whole virus thing keeps going?
There's also a Chinascope.
Oh, I forgot about
website.
That. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, Chinascope, Chinascope. And there is a hot topic at this point devoted to the coronavirus mostly. And I hear you, and I was thinking the same thing that, you know, some people may think, you know, hearing me or Yurika and think, well, you guys are just complaining. What do you suggest us to do? I mean, what positive message you can bring us? Well, so I want to, there's a 20 plus minute I want to talk about that. Right. So, the reason we try to educate people about communism, about the CCP, is so that people can distance themselves from the CCP, from communism. And that, I believe, will distance themselves from the virus. Okay? And this may sound unscientific, but let me give a perspective. Right? I have asked numerous people, I asked them, well, is your health a pure physical phenomena or is somehow related to your mind, to your spirit? Of course, they all say, certainly it's connected to our mind, yes, right? But our physical health has measures, like heart rate, our oxygen content, our blood level, all those, that we can measure our physical health, right? And there are also physical exercise we do to improve our physical health, running, swimming, all that, and there's also healthy diet. There are practices that we know to improve our physical health. Now, if we say our physical health is connected to our spiritual health or mental health, are connected to our physical health, then what is the measure of our mind health or mental health or spiritual health? And what then are the practices that doctors can recommend so we can do the mind exercise, the mental exercise, the spiritual exercise, so we would be healthy? Well, those are the sick, you know, those are not known, right? But instinctively, we know that they're connected. And then that's what I'm building on, right? If this terrible coronavirus that we all know now is closely related to communism or the CCP, right, then it goes that if we distance ourselves from it, then we're safer. And the distancing part, to me, is a healthy mental exercise or spiritual exercise, that we make ourselves a better person. We don't succumb ourselves to the bad things associated with the communism. And that's why I say, you know, now is the time for the world to think, other people, to think the world as a whole, not as just as individual. Right? And so, here is something that counterintuitive, maybe, right? I'm advocating a international, joint effort or a coalition, whatever, okay? And we need to get rid of, cut out WHO, put them aside, you know, we need an independent international effort to stop this. And there may be resistance to that now, but counterintuitively, I think the ones that are closest to the CCP, to China now, may be the first one to fold, to change their stand. Why? Because they are the ones most dependent on Chinese government's supply of funds, just like WHO just received $20 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
The North Korea, Venezuela, okay? Once their money dried up from China, right? So China's, and once China's economy takes nosedive, their money will dry up. Well, they will be the first one to, you know, change their stand. And also, if you look at a map, if you are familiar with the Belt and Road Initiative, the Belt and Road Initiative is basically those countries that receive funding from China, right? Those countries are the hardest hit by the coronavirus right now. And that's why I say, you know, distance yourself from communism and you'll be safer. And I think those countries will be the first ones to change their stand, and hopefully in time the world will wake up and all stand up, demand a better solution for the world.
Do you think the CCP is worried about having the eyes of the world on their every move right now?
Yes, and that's exactly why they force people to go back to work. Now, it wouldn't succeed. All right, there's two topics, okay? Why they force people to go back to work and why you wouldn't work, okay? So, as I have said and as Jörg has said, you know, that regime do not care people's lives. You know, whether their own people have money or to live on or they have food is not of their concern. But what they're really concerned of is their world support from those problematic regimes like, you know, Cuba, Korea, North Korea, Venezuela, all those. And if that regime cannot continue to extract money from the Chinese people and then pump them to their supporters, it's going to fall apart. It's going to fall flat. And that is their first concern. And that's why they're forcing people to go back to work. But it would not work, right? Because if you need 10 parts to make a product, if one factory cannot produce it, then you can have 9 other factories running full time. It will not make anything. This coronavirus is paralyzing parts of China, and it takes is for it to paralyze part of China, it's going to paralyze whole China, and paralyzing whole China will paralyze the whole world, right? Maybe to not the same extent, but still, it's a major problem to the world, and that's why world market is reacting to it. It's not that the whole world is affected as China is now, but the production chain threatens to be broken, starting from China. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that should concern everybody, this whole global economy idea.
And the only way for them to get together, or to get out of this, is for them to get together, demand and dissolution of the CCP, and give the world that, only that will give the world a chance to recover.
Well, you're not just educating people in the United States. I don't know what made me think of it, but I was looking up the statistics on our website, probably because I got an email that said somebody tried to access it from another device and that I may have a security problem. Apparently the Chinese aren't happy with us again. But I thought I would look at the statistics for the last few weeks since we've been covering this topic. And 46% of our online access has come out of Singapore.
Wow.
Yeah, 23% has come out of the United States, and the rest is divided up around the world. But 46% out of Singapore.
Yeah, I hope them get our words around.
I think it's actually helping a whole lot. And I guess I didn't say anything at the very beginning of the show, but I do need to mention that the archives for the program are always listed on our website, commercial-free. They are an MP3 file. You are free to do whatever you want with them. There's no copyright issue or any of that. You can post it to social media. You can share it with a friend. You can put it on a flash drive and make copies of it. I don't care if you sell it and raise money for your group. But get this information out to people because they really do need it. And these guys do a great job of sharing with us at, I'm sure, no small risk to themselves and their families. So we have to take a really quick break. We'll come back with our guests. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong.
Patriotic, patriotic, slam, bark, bark, like Venus, pretty sight.
Fine for now, but that changes. Okay, guys, we've got plus or minus 10 minutes. Have we missed anything? Obviously, this is a massive topic. We could talk about it.
One thing we didn't really touch on.
I
wanted to say one thing.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
One of the things that is happening is with all the coronavirus people in the hospitals and in the clinics and so forth, you have a ton of people that require regular medical care that have cancer.
Exactly.
You know, all these other things that are being treated on a regular basis and now can't be seen. So that's another impact, isn't it, that is going to hit as a result of the coronavirus.
Erica, you want to speak on that? Erica spoke a little bit last week also.
Yeah, this situation was particularly severe in Wuhan, where hospitals even kicked the people out of hospital in their cancer treatment. I believe even a newspaper in Hong Kong affiliated with Beijing, South China Morning Post, they published a report. Someone with a mother taking her young daughter to trying to cross a bridge to go to a neighboring province, a larger hospital, to treat leukemia for the young girl. But then back then she had to beg those security guards to let her and her daughter to go through. Then the security guards wouldn't budge. Then she said, I did not have to go through, just let the kid go over there. It took a larger hospital to treat her daughter's leukemia. And eventually, the guards let the mother and daughter go, but that was prior to the lockdown of numerous provinces and the cities in China. So this disaster, it has been silenced, and recent reports across social media coming out from Wuhan showing people jumping off buildings. And before, we weren't sure why these people were jumping off the buildings. So, because these are nice buildings. They are supposed to, they have their neighborhood community, not that residential community, who would do the wholesale, right, bring food to the buildings. They are not like transient workers. later it turned out in the recent days, these are the people who would not be able to go visit the doctor, and their medicine, they got 7 days or 10 days of additional medicine supply, but that ran out, and public and private transportation had been shut down, and there is no way that they could even walk outside the building. There's no way, even if they were allowed to walk, it would have took too much strength for them to walk to the hospital. So they jumped off the building just to end their lives. Oh, so this is really, really bad. And going back, this virus, the outbreak, is a turning point. Actually, it turned a long time ago, according to Dr. Chen, even in 2003, they started killing off people to stop the number from climbing. But this outbreak led the world to see what is happening. And the CCP is apparently on its decline. Now it focuses on how to continue to hold on to power rather than how to serve and save people's lives. And
that's what always happens.
Property. Yep. And there is in economics, there's a term called roving bandit. So now that is what the communist regime has descended to. In comparison to stationary bandits, although they are bandits, right, they still want to build a stable tax base so they could live off these people that they are ruling over. But once it descended to a roving bandit, its only incentive is to steal, to pillage, to destroy, and send their sons and their mistresses and their illicit children overseas. So this is what is happening in today's China.
Hunger Games, for real.
Yeah. So, and we're looking as a society at just having a little bit of socialism, you know, because it'll work out better here than it does everywhere else. I hope people are paying really close attention.
Yeah. I started out our last week's program by stating that Wuhan pneumonia pandemic forever ended the CCP's threat of world expansion and aggression, but began an even more terrifying time when the CCP will drag the whole world down, the whole world to sink down with it through its death and decay. And this is a situation, well, the world has gone through terrible times, right? We went through World War II, we went through the Cold War, and, you know, we faced terrible regimes like Hitler and Stalin. But even in those difficult times, when a regime fails and or defeated, that ends, right? The World War II ends when Hitler dies, and the Cold War ends when the Soviet Union broke apart, right? That's the end of it. But what we're facing now is the CCP is for sure, defeated. It will no longer be able to deceive the whole world anymore. But still, in its ending stage, dying stage, it's a even more threatening regime than ever. It's still threatening Hong Kong. Maybe, Yurika, again, you have more information, Hong Kong and Taiwan situation?
In Hong Kong, they... it is appalling that the executive, the number one lady in charge of the Hong Kong government, she reported to Beijing that this virus, the outbreak, would help her administration to crack down on the protesters, because now, like, people are not supposed to be gathering, right? So the police continued to attack and beat, and the most recent video footage that came from Hong Kong showing that they would twist and try to break the teenagers they already held down onto the ground, trying to break his arm and the legs before they really drag him away and throw him into the police vehicles. So the police violence, the police brutality are escalating in Hong Kong, and the world really need to draw a line clearly, because there is international agreement, right? How Hong Kong need to be continue the way it was, and how their freedom need to be respected, and the U.S. and the Canada and the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth countries, they all have a stake in Hong Kong, and they not only have financial stake, they also have this responsibility and their commitment to Hong Kong people. And this is, and then also I'm glad to see United States is extending more support to Taiwan. Still, Taiwan had been excluded from attending panel hearings in WHO. Now we're circling back to where we started with. Now we see the influence of Beijing, their influence in these international organizations they're trying to suppress. They took people in Taiwan and Hong Kong the same. They are going to treat them the same as they're treating people in Wuhan. They did not allow people from Taiwan to be withdrawn, to be evacuated at the outbreak. Eventually, when they did allow, they put a lot of people who are not Taiwanese onto the plane, and Taiwan authorities will not even be able to identify who these people are. So that is what is happening. And I hope it is time that the international community would try, as Dr. Chen pointed out, to form a sort of coalition to stop this disaster from spreading further, from spreading across the boundary of mainland China into Hong Kong, Taiwan, and other parts of the world.
Well, and based on what you told us earlier, if we see that the WHO, the World Health Organization, is still sort of in charge or at the forefront, we'll know that real solutions aren't really coming.
Wow.
I know we always end these shows. Wow. Gotta thank you guys for all of your great information. We really, really appreciate it. We're doing our best to get smart about all this. It's something you've lived for years, and we're way, way behind the information eight ball.
You know, if you get new information, keep us posted, and we'll definitely get it out to the folks.
I'm positive we'll be chatting with both of you soon. Dr. Chen, Mr. Young.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you guys very much for coming on.
You've been listening to We the People. We thought we'd send you out with some happy music. It's all you're going to get. It's all the happiness we got today. And the dream that